This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A choice right now, between fear and love. It's just a rock.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expounding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound.
Very.
Thanks for joining us on Expand Your Reality. What an incredible experience you're about to have. Sit down, sit back, and allow the energy to flow through you. It's about to get real.
Welcome to the show, Ken Lloyd. It is so great to have you on, brother. You are a high recommendation, a phone call out of her way recommendation from our dear mutual friend, Sheila Seppi, who just released a book who we were going to shout out. I'm just going to go ahead and link her new book down in the show description because we are so proud of her and grateful for her. And as publishers and authors ourselves, we can appreciate the shout outs, right? So wanted to also mention before we introduce Ken, which all the ways to find him located down in the show description, of course, his Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and the rest. He was also on Conscious Awakening Network, gang, which all of you will be familiar with out in this audience. Also want to mention here up top that the video version is where it's at for this one, guys. We have Rita Roberts joining us to continue our great gratitude-filled live expansion art series here, a creative expansion artist series. She is going to be linked down in the show description as well. And thank you just so much, Rita, for being here in advance, adding so much magic to this already incredibly cool conversation. So, Ken, again, man, mentioned to the audience over here up top that all the ways to find you a little further will be located down in the show description stuff. That's for later, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself right now, dude.
Yeah, well, so the best way to explain it is I am an example of what's called a walk-in. So walk-ins, right? Near-death experience. In 2018, it was, as the description will say, a profound experience, but the near-death experience that I had wasn't typical. Not that there is a cookie-cutter near-death experience template, but the idea of me going over to the other side during my near-death experience and having a conversation, right, or having an epiphany or, you know, seeing the world and all these other things didn't actually happen. So for me, it was 2 minutes of me laying in bed with my stomach arched in the air, feeling something being pulled out of my body. Okay. Now I had no religion, no spirituality. I don't think I've ever even knew what a psychic was at the time, right? No idea. But in this process, the metaphorical, if you look at the idea of the tunnel opening and people will go to the other side, do their thing, come back. They came over to me. So the idea of a walk-in typically means that one soul leaves, another one comes in, an exchange. That's not me. I actually never left. But that tunnel opened and allowed one future aspect of me to come over at that time in 2018. Now, I didn't know this was happening, right? To me, it was just another afternoon. I'm angry. You know, I'm on crazy amounts of ADHD medicine, energy drinks, and I have a brain tumor going on all during the acquisition of my third company, right? So incredibly stressful. And all I know is I woke up the next day and things were a little bit more peaceful for me. And what had happened is that thing that I felt coming out of my stomach was all of my life trauma being removed at once. Okay. So childhood trauma, you know, relationship trauma, you know, all of the stuff was gone. Now I still had trauma I had to deal with at the moment, right? Business trauma, partnership trauma, so on and so forth. But all of that was removed. And I found myself literally within days reading about psychic abilities. You know, what is an aura? What is remote viewing? You know, I'm thinking, oh my God, there's a list of 25 things. I want to do all of it. And I had no idea why I started to feel like this. And when you're an entrepreneur, when you start something big in your life, you put all your passion into that thing, all your money and all your passion, all your time. Like, I mean, day, night, you name it, you're there to build and to grow and to create something. Well, all of 27 years in cybersecurity, I taught myself everything. And all of a sudden, I'm now shifting to spending every waking moment reading about psychic abilities. What does it mean to be psychic? And how does that happen? And what is intuition? And, you know, how do I get there? And everything basically say you have to raise your frequency. So I began the process of healing myself. So I hired people to tell me, okay, no intuitives, right? Okay, you need to take this herb or this detox or remove all the metal in your mouth and you'll be good to go. I'm like, okay. So I did. I hired people, right? And what I had found when I hired these people is I'm doing the work they're asking me to do. So the idea of going in meditation and dropping into silence wasn't my thing. But the idea of going into meditation and going on a journey, like take me to Mars, whatever word you want to make up, right? And I was doing it. And I thought that was really, really weird. Because not only was I doing it, but the person on the other end of the phone or the people on the other end of the phone were also confirming the visuals I was getting. And I'm calling BS. Right. I'm like, no, I paid you a lot of money to agree with me. Right. This really isn't happening. And every session, more and more and more. And the other folks are like, we've never had anyone show up to be able to drop in and just go to these places without any information or knowledge or whatever. So I thought that was interesting. Then I started reading books on energy healing. Now I have no idea why. Right. But I'm reading this book and I got friends and family. I'm like, I'm going to try this thing on you. They're like, oh yeah, it feels better. I'm like, yeah. All right. You know, everyone give me the confidence I need to move forward. But then I took an energy healing course, right? I paid money. I'm like, you know what? The book's good. I'm going to go ahead and take the course. And I did. And I'm doing every exercise that they put up. You know, and I went ahead and I got certified for this practitioner. And, you know, you do your 25 people. I'm healing all of them. I'm like, what is going on? So about that time in my life, I begin meeting other people who are spiritually inclined. And this woman comes up to me. She says, you're a walk-in. I said, I'm a what? So now all of a sudden we get that, you know, when something resonates with you, you just can't let it go. You're like, well, that sounds like might be me because I'm searching what had happened to me. I had no idea. I have no idea why I'm putting all of this time and energy and effort into this thing that wasn't going to make me a multimillionaire like my cybersecurity was, right? I'm here, I'm doing the spiritual thing, but everyone's broken spirituality. So why? I don't understand this. So I'm doing it. And, you know, I start getting these downloads and I run across our mutual friend, Sheila Seppi. Through a podcast. And then I read her book and I reached out to her and I says, hey, he says, I think I'm a walk. And she says, you are, you absolutely are. She says, and there's 13 in you. I'm like, there's 13. I'm like, that's weird. Before I had met her, about 4 or 5 months before I had met her, there was an activation done on me where 12 more came over. All right. So 12 more future versions of me. into my field at the time. So Sheila explained to me, you're what's called a soul braid. So like a braid of a hair. I have me, I never left, but now I have 13 others that are with me. And I'm like, what are they doing? Why do I need so many? Right? I got these questions going on, and I really don't have all the answers that I'd like to have. Of course, we never really do. But at that time, my body started feeling a little different. So, you know, when you sleep on your shoulder and it gets that little pinprick? Well, my legs are feeling like that. And I'm looking at the legs and my muscles, and I think, poop, 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 poop. And I'm seeing these muscles, like these little twitches isolated about the size of a dime all over my body. And it gets more and more intense as the year goes through. And at some point, I just lay there. And when I stop moving, there's this delicious energy that comes over me in my physical body. It's so intense. It's so amazing. You don't want to move because I can only feel it when I'm sitting still. Well, what's happening here is those 13 were modifying my physical body. They're modifying the cellular structure in my body so that it holds frequencies like a battery. So let me explain why this is important. And I'm learning more and more about it as I move through. But the idea of someone channeling healing energy, name the channeler, name the person, name the thing. What typically happens is the frequencies will come down through the crown and out through the person or in the room. It happens like that for me, but it's different in the idea that once that energy comes down, it gets stored in my field. So when somebody else approaches me, and right now they tell me the field's 580 feet, when somebody else approaches that field and they need that code, they need that healing frequency or whatever that is, it gets delivered to them without interacting with me. So, and the same thing on the replays and the calls right now. My field's extended to your audience. So they're going to start feeling a little funny. They're going to start noticing the aches and pains in the body might just start dissipating. Their emotions will start changing. And that is just literally by me being present. So this is what they are doing. They are modifying the physical structure so I can hold these codes. I'm thinking that's great, Sheila, but why? And right, so why is this happening? And she's like, well, you're the way I am created, and I say created is that I always come in at times of great ascension. And I work on millions and millions of people to raise these frequencies up. But to do that, I need to be able to reach millions and millions of people. And that's not going to happen on one-on-one sessions, right? So they are literally transforming my body to be this walking transmission of ascension codes, of DNA codes and clearing, of activations and physical healing, spiritual healing, activations of your spiritual gifts, you name it, like check the box, all these things come through. So in December just passed, you know, I get the little message, go meditate. I'm thinking that's weird. They don't talk to me, not like that. So I go down to my little meditation room and I begin meditating, and I'm there for about 15 minutes. But as soon as I drop in, I can feel this massive energy going through my body and I can't move anymore. I can't twitch a finger. I can't twitch a muscle. I literally can't move. And my higher self begins moving into my physical body. And I'm like, what's going on? They're like, you knew this was coming. I got the message a few weeks earlier. I'm like, yeah, but what's going on? And the voice was really, really fast. Right? Like they're busy. Like we ain't got time to talk right now. We're a little busy. And they shut off my ability to ask questions. You know that utopia thing we all try to get to with meditation? I have no thoughts. I'm one with everything. Well, that literally happened for 13 minutes of the 15. Can't physically move. Can't think. Just got to sit there and experience this amazing energy, right? But that's where the fun kind of stopped. About 2 weeks later, my life completely changed, all right? So if you follow the stories of walk-ins, especially with the idea of a soul exchange, your life is disrupted. The old soul walks out. The new one comes into a new family, new relationships, new job, new life. And they're like, I don't know any of you. I'm out of here. Right? Divorce happens. This everything complete and it happens fast. Well, within 2 weeks of my higher self stepping in my body, that's exactly what took place. So marriage is 17 years, love the marriage, love the wife. She's beautiful. No issues, no problem. But I was asking for a divorce. I'm like, what is going on here? Not only that, but I've done pretty good in my life. And I ended up selling my beautiful home, my race cars, my classic truck, sold everything in my life and moved to Mexico within about 60 days of that experience. And I was in Mexico for 3 months, 6 months with 3 suitcases. I literally sold everything in my life, got rid of everything, and lived out of 3 suitcases when I went to Mexico. This was not something I would have ever expected. But what's happening here is I went to Jalapa, Mexico, where there are no cars. There's donkeys, horses, and 4x4s, right? You get to Jalapa by boat. So I spent a month there, very spiritual place, beautiful place. And 9 more came in through this experience. Now, I didn't know this happened. You know, I don't know when they're coming. I don't know when they're going. I don't feel those type of shifts and changes. And they moved into the body, and that was April. And then in July, I moved to Tulum. And they're like, you're going to be here for a few months. I'm like, okay. And within 10 days, they're like, you're doing Cambo and you're doing Bufo. And I'm like, I'm doing what? Because I don't like these things, right? I don't like plant medicines. I don't like hallucinogens. But they had me do this. And I did the Cambo on a Friday morning at 10 a.m. And that went very, very well. I won't get into Cambo or Bufo. I'm not really here to talk about those necessarily. But the Cambo, what the Cambo did was it opened up the cellular structure in my physical body. And while it was still open, they had me do the Bufo, which is when the ego steps out. And I saw it happening. I literally saw all of it happening, which was really freaky. When the ego stepped out, and with the cellular structure open in the body, the 22 physically merged into every cell, every molecule of my body. We operate as a collective now. So there's no separation of 22 and Ken. There's just one of us. So within days of that, my claircognizant ability was off the roof. Like, I knew it was happening before it happened. Didn't matter who was on the call with. It was like, oh my God, it was just there. And through this entire process of me going through this transformation of the cybersecurity geek, right, to now this guy that can heal people just literally almost with snaps of a finger, right? It has shifted everything, but yet, even though there's 22 in my body, I still don't have these conversations that some of these other walk-ins have. We talk to our friend Sheila, and they're yapping in her ear all the time. I'm like, Sheila, I don't get that. They don't talk to me like that. And I asked my team, I call them the team of 22. I'm like, listen, why don't you guys talk to me in my ear like others do? You're here. You can obviously have these conversations. And they told me, they said, if we were to talk to you, it would be slower than what you already have. I'm like, what do you mean? They said, we're in your body. We are your personality. We are in every memory, every emotion. Every knowing is already inside of you. So you literally just have to ask you, not us, what you need to know. And it's so strange. It's very, very weird, right? So I'm going to pause there. A lot of yap for the audience. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm this really weird walk-in guy who never left, but I have 22 hanging out with me doing some incredible stuff.
It's so interesting, Ken. And this is why Sheila was so excited for you to meet the audience, because we really haven't had a fun, awesome, what the fuck kind of conversation like this in a minute, man. It's been pretty serious. I'm coming out of some heavy shit. So I love this, man. This is wonderful. And thank you for sharing this. You've nonstop smiling since I met you, which was a while back. You and I have had a couple of conversations. So
yeah.
I see that your life is different and greatly improved. So just from an observational standpoint, you made some dramatic changes in your life that you were aided in by something coming in and aiding your confidence to get over the fear of the making the decisions and loving yourself enough to make the step forward. And you have this incredible empowerment and this confidence with your new experience. And I think it's amazing and infectious and awesome. And I think if more folks could embody this rather than watching the news and feeling like they're oppressed at every corner, which if you feel that way, you probably run that direction because there's freedom to be had there. But it still feels like what you are experiencing is so dramatic and juxtaposed to what most people experience that I just have a lot of questions, man. So when you say that you hear and they will take time to talk to you, do you mean that like you will literally in your mind hear them speaking on those times where there is a connection being made rather than, again, the quick, it would slow them down if they just described everything to you, which was fascinating. I still want to talk about that. But when you do have the interaction, how does it feel? How does it come about?
So when I'm with clients, they interact with me with nearly every client. Okay. They talk to me more when I'm with a client than they do with me, which is really weird.
No, I get it, because it's a reflection thing. I get this because I do the same thing, but I don't consider it like a teamer. I consider, okay, here's how I've explained it to people. When you and I are sitting here talking, and Rita's a part of this too here, but when you and I are sitting here talking, we are two energies that combine to create a third energy, which is this conversation. And the conversation itself has a life of its own, and it's a tulpa being shot out by our energies and creating this thing, but it takes both of us. What's fascinating about this process is there no two are ever alike, because the energies are completely different. You and I have different things to reflect for one another. And so I completely get what you're saying. I think it's awesome. I think maybe I'm already doing this, but it wasn't articulated to me that I was a walk-in or needed this type of thing. But also I will say that something massive changed in my life. And with that change came some really dramatic changes in taste and preference, to a point where I could not ignore things anymore. And is that how you got?
Well, so I was actually looking at you, and you're talking about yourself there, showing me kind of how you're configured. So this is how they work, right? So the way it works with me is when somebody starts talking or asking questions, they start showing me.
How do you see that? Do you see me still, or do you see the images with me with the stuff there?
And is it like frames? Imagine everything as a video or a movie.
Okay.
All right. And with you, well, you're not a walk-in per se. You actually have the ability to, they're showing, you know, 20 other versions of you. Think of them as in hologram versions, if you will. Okay. And what they have is they have you, imagine standing in line. You've got you're facing this direction, and the holograms behind you facing the same direction. And you've got 20 of them lined up to your left. And the way this works with you is that, so you kind of back up to that hologram, these other realities, other versions of you, and you're energetically connected for the process, the time, the moment, the thing, right? And then you shift and move to these other versions of you. Okay. And these aren't just other realities. They are higher selves versions, part of your guides and part of your teams. But what happens here is you kind of line yourself in front of the other one, kind of back up a little bit, and all of a sudden now you're connected. So you keep shifting and moving to these other versions of you as needed.
Dude, that, I've got a shitty eating grin on my face for the audio only audience, but this makes so much sense to me when you say it like this. There's so many things connected here, Ken. So a dear friend of mine, Pat Mahan, who hadn't been on the show for a while, but he's a dear friend. He explains it like this. He explains that you are, when you move forward or something, what you're doing is you're aligning all the versions of you. And it is sort of a linear process. We could think of this as snapshots on a snapshot images, right? Like how a movie is made. You described it perfectly. And whenever you roll those together, they animate a process. But in those versions, there's still moments. But what's fascinating is those possess different skill levels, or they have different perspectives that once I integrate with, I'm now offered that perspective. But what's fascinating is they're not all blended over. I choose to interact with them from a perspective of one over another rather than one and another. Does this make sense?
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. And there are other times that they come in, they're not part of your team. Because I can see other ones tapping. I see other ones tapping the shoulder of the hologram, saying, "Hey, can we step in?" The idea of somebody stepping in to do a dance with your girl, right? Can I have a dance with your girl? Because they're cutting in, right, with permission, right? And they're there outside of your team. They're actually called in by your team or by other missions to bring in what you need. So there are times you have cut-ins, and you know, very polite, very very polite.
That's interesting, because that's how it would need to be approached with me. The audience knows this. I'm pretty spiritually picky, and I've talked about sort of healings, and I've gone through a whole dark night. So I've really, I went through a lot of distrust with things, right? And so I just question a little extra, which is, again, another fascinating thing we're going to talk about your inability to question for a moment. And that terrifies me, by the way, in a way that fascinates me that you were so embracing of it. And I've been looking at this inverted concept, man, that all... Seinfeld, whenever George did the opposite of everything, remember that episode?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, he did the opposite of everything intuitively for him, and everything worked out great. And so his first gut reaction, everything that he did up to that point in his life was incorrect and led him astray is what he felt. And so what he started to do was the opposite of that, and everything fell into line. And so when you say this, it connects with me to the astrology that we're looking into, to where your south node is, for instance, mine. My south node is Capricorn, and that's what I come in as, fully embodied. But I need to embody my north node, which is the complete opposite energetic spectrum of that Cancer, to be more in flow, to be more trusting, right? And it goes against what my first inclination. So honestly, what you're saying makes a lot of interesting sense in an interesting way to me right now, brother.
So one of the things that my team did to me, and they did it right before the near death, was they turned off all the news. Like, I haven't watched news in 7 years, whatever the number is.
Yeah, long.
The YouTube videos, the channelers, like I started catching some channeling stuff in the beginning, and they're like, no, you can't watch any of this. So everything that I've got going on is as organic as it gets. Like it's hard for me to be in this field and like, I don't know anything. I didn't read that book. I don't follow that person. Like I don't know any of this. So whatever's coming through is literally them helping me understand the experience. So the just wanted to back up real quick. In December, when the higher self come in, they told me to get ready for the great reset. Okay, in my life. Well, obviously, this is what happened. And they removed all my likes and dislikes. You know, if I like fancy cars, that was removed. If I like this food, that was removed. They literally neutralized everything so that when these higher frequencies come in and I continue to raise my frequency, that I begin to experience life in these higher vibrations. And those are the things that I pull in. But they had to remove everything in order to do that. So a little clarity on that.
Thank you for the clarity. And it's interesting because from a perspective, I could see where I would be stubborn and attached to my preferences because I have preferences and I dig that. And I would like to experience life while having those preferences, but without having to compromise that to experience the things I want to, right? Mm-hmm. But it seems that you found the integrated quick, like straight to the top version of this by just removing all preferences. Therefore, what comes in is just pure and raw, so you can observe and that's it. It makes sense, seriously. If you could abandon attachment like this guy right here, audience, I mean, some fascinating life-altering things change.
You're beautiful. You know, imagine going through a divorce without anger, without any of that, and still being as supportive, you know, as understanding as it, you know, it is. And this is why I'm always around with a smile. I don't have issues in my world. I don't have moments of error. It's all been removed, right? So
do you feel safe that way? Because that's really my ego's question to you is, how do you feel around like the edges of cliffs and buses and danger and things like that?
So spiritually, energetically, a lot of protection around me, given what I'm doing and the amount of energy that's flowing through me and the things that are inside of me. There are thousands of team, they say thousands and thousands that have supported me. But I will tell you this, you know, you're not going to find me in an alley, a dark alley at 2 a.m. in some crazy town I'm not familiar with. Like that, I don't do, right? Not interested in it. And I'm not an adrenaline junkie. Like I'm not trying to see what I can push at all. I'm just Ken, right? Just an average guy.
What if three of your 22 personalities want to go skydiving sometime?
She did. One of the pilot, by the way, she brought that through. It's not so much that we need to experience these things. We've already experienced them in our own reality, in our own world. It is literally aligning him to the frequency he's growing and allowed him to do the job he needs to do with the passion, with the excitement that he talks about, but in such a way that it's also effective and quick across the world. So that was them channeling.
Wow.
They just show up, right? And it comes from the inside of me. It's not like I've got to call them in or I have to zone in. They're just there.
It's just on tap.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you feel when it comes in? Is there any separation anymore? Or does it just feel like you?
They don't come in.
See, yeah, because they're there. In. What's that thing in the Super Troopers when he's like, he can't pull over any further. He's already pulled over, right? They can't come in any further.
They can't come in anymore. Yeah. But now, I will tell you this. They will ebb and flow. I'll have 40 up to 45 at one point. All right. And then they shift and move. And the other thing that I'm becoming aware of, and I see it, and Sheila helped me understand this, is she's what her team calls me a hollow bone. So imagine the idea of this tunnel going all the way up, right? Your center pillar. I'm not having the way a metaphor to do it. going all the way up beyond source, and it's just opened. All right. So there are things that come in through me that are beyond source because they need to come in and do a job for a particular client.
They're like, right? A highway for spiritual, like, dope.
Literally. Shit. And one of three things happen. They come in, they do their we'll use magic in a very positive, fun way here. They'll do their magic, right? And they'll leave. Or they'll come in, do their magic, and they'll deposit their magic in my field. Okay. And then the other one is they just come in and stay for a while.
Just kind of hang out, amplify, observe, things like that.
Whatever is needed comes through, and I don't have to call it. The team's already arranged all of this.
Just short of a near-death experience, how do people do this? How do people connect with their team on this level? Because I got to say, I've been attempting to for a long time and just don't feel the things that people say that they feel. And I'm just interested in it. I really am. I have done all the psychedelics and all the stuff and still.
Yeah.
It feels interesting. In a way, you're super connected. I feel like my job is to be super disconnected in a way. Well,
I feel disconnected from everything.
And see, that's fascinating.
I literally feel disconnected from everything. Like, I'm disconnected from doing fun stuff. No, and that doesn't mean I don't want to do fun stuff. Like, I could sit around my house all day and do nothing. But I'm disconnected from the human as well.
How is Ken with that? Does Ken have a say in that? Is there some balance in your side of Kane's? And maybe the team can get on board, even though they've skydived on Glip Glorp 47. Maybe we haven't done it on Earth, and it could be cool here.
Yeah, and so I get to drive the vehicle, right? So to speak, metaphorically. I'm driving the bus, right?
Yeah.
But then they jump in, drive the bus. I can tell you what, in every session I'm on, they're driving. When the light language comes through, they're driving.
I would just set, me personally, Bubba, and this is probably why I don't get the interaction. I'm not as open to it as you are. I would set some boundaries in the form of like, all right, look, my office hours for y'all are this fucking time to this time, man. And beyond that, I'm going to go smoke pot. I'm going to skydive. I'm going to do cool shit because I've still got, you know, I think that there's a lot to you retaining your disposition, health, excitement, yeah. Neural pathways being connected.
But what if this was you? But what if it was you? What if you literally were brought here for this? And the first 40 years of your life, this is what's going on. The first 40 years of my life, well, 48, I think is when it happened, you know, was preparing me for this. So if they weren't with me, I'm not sure who I'd be or what I would do. Like it's so me that I don't think about, you guys need to go and take off because they're not intrusive.
I get it.
They're not, everything
you're,
I do.
You're not missing anything.
No.
You feel more complete because of its presence. Therefore, why would you search? The grass isn't greener because you got all the greener.
I do feel more complete, but I also feel disconnected. I'm like, talk to me more. I'm supposed to have all of this knowledge inside of me that they call the library of creation in my field, right? Library of creation. Everything that's ever been created is in my field. And you can go into my field, into this library, and heal yourself using my gifts. I can take you into a room. You can say, Ken's team, heal my thing. They will do it while you're in those rooms. So I have all of these things, and you know, it's incredible, but yet I don't know anything. I'm like, what do you mean the library of creation? What do you mean I can take somebody into this room and remove, and they can actually see the attachments to the ancestors and watch them dissolve off their body? I'm like, but how's that happening? Like, I don't get those details. So I'm disconnected like that.
Are you curious? Would you rather be more involved in that process?
That is a beautiful question. So think of it like this. If I became really curious and started going down that deep rabbit hole of how does this widget work or how does this thingy work, right? There are two things that come across my mind. One, it's only going to be helpful to me, sort of, because at the end of the day, there are tens of thousands of channelers out there bringing in tens of thousands of variations and bits of information. So I'm not necessarily interested in being an individual standing up saying this is how it works and this is how it works. So not interested in that. Am I interested about how it works with me? Yes and no. I'm interested in knowing I can get the dialogue and the information and the answers if I ask the right questions. And I can, in a way. But if I spent my whole day doing that, I would absolutely lose focus of what the bigger mission is, which is how do I reach millions and millions of people, not just through a lifetime, but literally tens of thousands of them in a single event, Right. So that's the focus, not how does the mechanics work in the back end.
See, and me, I'm an engine up guy. I got to know how it works so I can better run the engine. And to me, I learning graphic design made me so much of a better podcaster. It's so silly, right? But there's so much, they're so hand in hand because the visual representation, if people think that the graphics suck, they're not going to care how great the audio is, right? And so there's a systemic approach I like to take with this. And I'm just curious by nature. Like, so I just want to know everything, right? And to that degree, though, I could see where I also have a lot of lack of trust, because by asking questions, I found that there's a lot of people full of shit out here, mostly our government and all that. But what I mean to say is that within the question asking process, I found a lot of liberation. Within the suspension of the question action asking process, you found your liberation. It's so interesting. Again, whenever you think of the paths we're taking, and that you and I are sitting here with Rita creating this amazing piece of art. If you guys have not joined the video version of this yet, Jesus, go check it out, guys. This is incredible. But I love this and how you and I are reflections from opposite sides of this incredibly cool expanding universe, but we meet in the middle in a beautiful place.
So the way they're explaining it to me right now is, you know, imagine the idea that you knew everything. That doesn't mean you have everything on the tip of your tongue. But if you knew you had access to everything and everything's inside of us, inside of you, where's the interest in diving down to redo something you already know? And this is what they're showing me. If I've done this so many billions of times that I don't need to go diving for those answers that everyone else is seeking right now. You know, everyone else, just the community in general, for what the topics are, right? It's like, you don't need to do that. One, it's in the Library of Creation, and in a short time, they'll show me how to access that to get all the knowledge of whatever I need, which is fine, but what am I going to do with it, right? It is literally, when you reach that point of you no longer need the answer because you no longer need the question because it's already inside of you, you kind of traverse that, you move through it. And the information you need for the job you're doing, for the task at hand, will show up as you need it. And they call it just-in-time information, something like that.
It's like Parkinson's law, which is awfully named, but it's this idea that goes that a project will only take you as long as the time dedicated to it. So let's say that you're given a month to write a paper and you wait until the last night to write the paper. You'll complete the entire paper and do just fine on it within that time period allotted. It could have also taken you a month if you would have done it that way, right? And so this idea of not needing to carry around all this additional baggage so that you can have it on hand physically because it's on tap in the cloud, basically. And so you sort of... it's like a hard drive, right? You don't need to store everything on your device. You store it on a hard drive so it doesn't bog the device down, and the device can be a better conduit for new information and flow freely and more uninhibited, more lighter.
Great analogy.
It makes a lot of sense. What do you think is next for you? And then I want to know what you think is next for the collective.
So I don't normally talk about what I know is coming with me. Because I'm a firm believer in, and because I've seen it so many other times, right? I'm a firm believer, once something shows up, then we can talk about it. Because I could tell you, you know what? They're telling me tomorrow at 2 a.m., I'm going to be a superhero, whatever. I'm making it up, totally making it up, audience, right? But it doesn't happen for two more years. Well, what happened to the idea? So I know what's coming, and I have been actively engaged in bringing this in, and it's been frustrating for me because... everything that has happened to me since the near death has happened, even though I had the passion and the excitement and the drive to go read something or whatever, it's just happened. But for this very next thing, it requires heavy participation from the human body and heavy participation from the 22 in order to get this, we're going to use the fun word magic, in order to get this magic to show up, right? And it's a critical piece of magic. The idea that I'm able to go and heal people with these energies and move all these energies around is just one aspect of what's coming. So the way they explain it to me is that typically the typical spiritual enlightened person, as they go through their journey, you know, they take two steps up, they plateau, you know, maybe they plateau for a week or plateau for 10 years, whatever they are. And then the next thing comes in and they go up the next level. And we're using levels just as an example. But imagine shifting that paradigm so that you are in an elevator that doesn't stop and has no top floor. And this is me. they'll never stop increasing the things that I do. I'm literally here to shift the world and to shift the energy of the world, to bring in the ascension and to bring these gifts online that are inherent in all of us. And as I do this, they just next thing. I'll give you an example. The other day, about 4 weeks ago, you know, it's dark outside. I get the thing, go outside and do this light language things. And I was with our friend Sheila, right? I'm like, Sheila, guess what? Guess what we're doing? She goes, okay. So, you know, she did her activation and did my activation. It was lasted all 6 or 7 minutes, and an ET showed up in front of me. Okay. Now, not in the physical. Please, you know, I don't have the physical. I don't have UFO. I'm not a UFO experiencer, and I don't have not a hybrid, none of these things. But showed up, and he walked into me. I'm like, well, that was interesting. One, how'd he get here? And two, who let him in? These are the things I question. I've had my fair share of discernment issues that teaches me, okay, you know, locks are on all the time. I don't open that door for anything. So that evening, and I go to bed, and I astral travel. I don't astral travel. I dream of my dog or my car. Like, I'm not that guy. I never, ever happened. I barely lucid dream. And I always ask about this. I know why. But I astral traveled, and it was ugly. It was ugly. And I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm pulling this energy off my body. I'm like, oh, great. And I grab that ET. It says, I'm not sure what you did. I says, but you're in isolation until I get this figured out. So I pulled him out, and I put him off to the right in the bubble. And I get up, and I'm staying at Sheila's house for the week. And I said, Sheila, you know that thing last night? I said, this thing happened. She says, oh. She's like, you brought in a gatekeeper. Now, remember, I don't have any of this knowledge. Right? I'm like, okay, what's a gatekeeper? I'm thinking gatekeeper, astral projection. I get it. And what had happened is this particular ET, when he came down to join the team, not as a 22, just as a, we'll call him a contractor. As he came in to join, he got stuck. He'd never been in the physical body. Intrepid. And he left the gate open. Okay. So this is why the astral projection, astral travel happened. So got that taken care of, took care of him in 3 or 4 minutes. He's all merged in. And now what's happening is in my client sessions, now that he's here, in my client sessions, I'm able to drill in to other realities where they're existing, where the client is under attack in those realities. Physical attack, magical attack, you name whatever the definition of attack is. And I go into the other realities and I deal with that situation. And then I seal the reality so that energy no longer bleeds over to this reality and causes a disruption in your energy field. So they're showing me all these things, and I'm able to collapse all of these timelines in a matter of seconds now and remove all the energetic charge that was impacting the client. So this he shows up, and now this shows up.
That's amazing, man. Something I was thinking of whenever you were talking about this is, have you seen the bikers who, it's a biker gang, right? But what they do is they'll go take kids to school that have been bullied and they walk into class and stuff. And there's this huge biker gang, and they take these amazing kids, and then none of the kids jack with them anymore. They're the coolest kids in school forever and everything's awesome. This is what it sounded like when you were saying this, that you're like this badass motorcycle gang that goes to other realms and takes care of whatever's going on and then drives them to school and walks them to class to make sure that they don't get dicked with in that reality anymore. And it sounds cool. It sounds really, really sweet.
The team's actually searching for metaphor right now, but they're like, just go with it.
Go with that.
But this is how it works. They engage when I'm engaged with others. They don't necessarily engage when I'm not talking or engaged in spiritual work.
Okay, well then why don't we invite them to ask a question? Is there a question they have for myself or they would like to get more clarity about or anything they want to say here?
No, there's not.
Yeah, they know.
Like, no, we're sitting back. This is your show. I mean, your show, our show, right? They're like, no, we're not. Yeah, no, they're here to assist, but they're not jumping up from front stage. Yeah, not fair at all. They're like the role of people. They're like, we're all stepping back.
So, got you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy your bonbons, crew. That's fine. We're having a good time here. Okay. Well, there's so many things to talk to you about here. I would love to know a few of your stories of miracles, if you'd like, before we get to the healing that you would like to offer the audience here before we get into the afterthoughts.
Yeah, so there are a couple cases that just stand out, right? That just boggle my mind. Because one, I don't really know much about the human body. And if I did, it would make my job so much harder. If I knew how the heart worked and pumped blood to this thing and that disease happened because of this, it would just be a mess. So I don't know a lot about the human body. But this 29-year-old woman comes in to me, and she's got a whole list of things she wants me to work on. She's like, I need you to improve my ability to connection to spirit, turn on my light language gift, turn on this, turn on this, all spiritual stuff. And I'm doing all these things. And I looked at her, I said, listen, I says, you know, everything I'm doing for you, you're not going to recognize right away. They'll show up when it's time to show up. I said, but I'd like to give you an experience. And I'd like to know, is there anything on your body that hurts right now? This is what I like to start with. When I'm working with anybody, I'm like, show me the pain point. We're going to deal with that first, because that's the immediate, holy shit, it's gone. And now I'm going to allow whatever else to show up, right? So it gets rid of that subconscious barrier. And she's like, yeah, she says, you know, so she's 29 or something. And she says, I can't bend my knees. She says, I go to yoga. She says, ever since I've been 3 or 4, I can't bend my knees. So she goes to squat down, and she's probably hovering 1.5 or 2 feet off the ground. So she really can't bend her knees. She can't. She's never been able to. And I said, okay. And I did the thing I did. It took less than 60 seconds. And I said, okay, I want you to stand up and I want you to bend your knees. She went all the way down. All the way down. No pain, no discomfort, completely gone. Right. I've had people come out 3 inches taller after 10 minutes because they've been hunched over. There's scoliosis, you know, and then you can name. And by the way, just for the record, I know you guys can't see, I'm not a doctor. I don't diagnose. And I don't heal anything. All I do is move energy and the body heals itself. Right. Shoulders and backs and lungs. And it's just boom, boom, boom. I'll have people take a breath in who have a hard time breathing. I'm like, I want you to get baseline. And they do. And I'll go in there and I'll look at both the lungs and I'll talk to the lungs. I'll pull out the emotions. I'll pull out whatever connections, ancestral, past lives, childhood, or whatever the organ is telling me to do. And then I will take my hand in my mind's eye, sometimes in, because I'm used to it, like in front of me, and I'll wave it over the organ, and the organ will dissolve into black and gold sand. So it disappeared, dissolved in the sand, and I put it into a little bucket and I throw it out. And then I issue a rebuild command. And literally, I'll say rebuild. And it's like a 3D printer. Rebuilds the organ, but in instant time. And then I'll turn to the person to say, literally before this is done rebuilding, I'm like, take another breath. And they got full breath now. Right? And these aren't temporary things. Like, it's not just the moment, like, they're done. I had a family the other day, 22-minute session. And yeah, I was looking at the clock. I'm like, 22 minutes, 22 guys. Okay. Family of 4. The mom sits down, you know, she's probably in her 60s, 70s, whatever she is, right? And I healed her back and both her knees, total pain-free, gone. And I'm like, that was 8 minutes. What are we going to do the rest of the session? She's like, oh, come here. She called her daughter over, who's in her 30s or something. And she's got pain in the front of her shoulder she's had for years from a car accident. Gone 30 seconds later, both her knees, her shattered ankles done, and her back. The dad sits down, do work on him. And then the son, who's 32, he has a crushed back from a car accident or something like that. He's done. Like, all 4 of them in 22 minutes, right? This is a normal day. If it doesn't happen that fast, I'm like, what's going on, team? Like, what's happening? Like, literally, imagine doing this. And then when you don't get the results, now you're questioning what's happening, because every situation is, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. But now, to me, it's an expectation of, you're going to be healed, period. So I have seen some incredible things. Oxygen, on oxygen, not on oxygen anymore. Eyes have been healed. Tinnitus goes away on the call. Not every time, by the way. But tinnitus will go away, right? Just, you name it, and they have shown up. And it's funny, because as I heal someone, I'm creating programming code. Right? I'm a programmer by design. My entire first 47 years of my life was preparing me how to move from spirit, allow spirit to move through the human body and experience to create what the human needs with all of this energy. This is why I consider myself important with the 22. Like, they need me. I'm like, you guys can't get rid of me now. Right? It's my leverage. You need the human in order to heal the human. But I create these codes that are now in my field. So when I'm in a group, physically in person, happens all the time, you know, I will say, hey, anybody in here who has physical pain right now, it needs to be a neck, a shoulder or a lower back or a knee. So I kind of limit it, right? Because those are the things I know can have instant relief, and it gives them and the crowd the experience. Okay. So I'll heal somebody's knee in the front row, and then people in the back be like, my knee's done as well. I'll work on somebody's left hand, and both hands are gone. Arthritis, pain arthritis is gone like that. And that's easy stuff. I live in a very different world. I see everything so differently.
As a question for those out there who may be connecting this to the preachers slapping people with their jackets and miraculous healings from churches with people standing up in wheelchairs we may or may not know needed that wheelchair or not, or the people who are used to an energetic trade-off, meaning that if you're going to heal something, what's the trade-off, right? What would you say to those folks that ask those questions?
Get ready. The next version of the thing you were suggesting is here. And I don't mean that in a very funny way. The idea of the ability to heal the masses needs to happen now. It's going to happen differently. You know, it's not going to happen in revival churches, you know, with people getting all frenzied necessarily, right? And it's going to happen without touch. There's been folks in the past, we can do our history thing, that, you know, when they do the healing, they did it with touch, and it ended up in a bunch of, you know, legal issues.
Oh, gross.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, right. So the ability, so the ability to heal the masses, the time is here now, and it will be done in such a way where it's not intruding on the person's essence. Right. The idea of the show, because it is kind of a show. Is it needed either? Is it needed at all? So, yes, those things are happening. And I think I might have forgot the second part of your question. But so there's no denying it. I show up and I heal an audience just by being in the room. It's undeniable.
Do you feel there's an energetic trade-off with something that compromises your boundaries whenever you're experiencing healing?
No. So it's funny. You know, I had a question asked me today. Like, you know, how many sessions can you do before you get tired? I don't get tired. I'll do 12 a day. I don't get tired. I literally don't get the energy. It never comes into me. It never comes through me. You know, everyone's energy goes out. My energy doesn't go in. It is, I'm literally going. So my energy doesn't go into somebody. Okay. I remove the disturbance, which allows their field to rebalance, reharmonize, which shows up as instant physical healing in the body. Okay. Now, when I am doing activations, when I'm turning on someone's ability to speak light language, right? That's what they were doing just now when they were talking. They're like, no, that's not your energy. That is ours. It is our codes. So there is nothing about Ken Lloyd that goes into another person. And I don't need a reciprocal. That balance, you know, is negated by the fact this is my job. This is literally my job, and I've done it billions of times. So I don't need to have the, I'm going to scratch your back energetically, and you're going to scratch my back energetically. I need nothing from anyone, which makes it so beautiful.
It does.
I'm not thirsty.
It does. Some folks have a trade-off, and that's why there is a skepticism among the energetic healers. And I think, like you with the gray, like you, and this is the next part of this. There should be a little bit of questioning on this stuff, right, to retain your energy. So that's my next question. How do you set an energetic barrier when you're interacting or receiving a healing? Side to this is that now that we're learning about contract law and things like this, there are a lot of contracts that we have signed with officials around our country and things like this that don't represent and weren't clearly articulated to us. So our recourse on this is to sign under any contract and write without recourse or without prejudice. Okay. What this does is it means that anything in the contract that was trying to trap you, trick you, or siphon you energetically, hold you responsible, legalese, does not apply to you. You're reserving your rights. So what is the spiritual equivalent to reserving your rights when either interacting with things or receiving healings?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And they're explaining to me as you're talking, they're like, listen, it's no different up here. Every contract has you know, bylaws or hidden stuff or hidden agendas, right? And I see a lot of subcontractors coming in under other contracts. So you might have a contract with a bad guy. To have the bad experience, and I'd use these terms in a general way, but that bad guy will then subcontract his contract out and bring a whole bunch of other ones in, right? Something the small print would never seen. because you have the ability for free will, you know, can you stop, blah, blah, blah. It's like you need an arbitrator is what they're stating. So for you to go in and to break a contract, you yourself alone in your meditation state, I'm going to connect to Harry, I'm making it up, right? Harry the ET, and I want to break that contract with him because I don't think he's a bad guy, right? You're not going to be able to as easily as you would wish. You need a mediator, someone like me. Now, let me explain what that means. I'm able to go in there in that same situation and bring Harry the ET up and burn the contract. I'm able to get him to sign another contract that says I'm never going to show up again and it's yours to keep. Now, every healer needs a healer, every psychic needs a psychic, every psychic needs a psychic, every human needs a human. So with this library of creation field, there's a room called the Room of Records. You can go into that room and say, I want, show me all books and records and curses and spells, whatever, that has binded me to Harry the ET. They will show up on that table. And you get to burn them now. You get to break those contracts. Because you're using this library of creation as that mediator, that vessel. So this is what's being set up now. You know, the thing that they do urge me to tell people is all the modalities and the tools that we've currently been exposed to up until now in human history on the idea of spirituality and connection are all shifting and changing. They're amplifying exponentially. You know, the idea of Reiki 4, Reiki 5, as an example, right? So the modalities that are out there right now are all going to be augmented. And I'm one of those who show up to bring in those new codes. I say I'm one of them, not the only one, right? So not only am I here to break your contracts, but I'm here to give humans the tools to do the job better and quicker and faster, because I got to tell you, I think everyone's tired of waiting for us to ascend.
Well, I think you can't, right? Because nobody's coming to save you. You have to be actionable about this. And it's interesting you mentioned that you need a third party because that's how trusts operate. You have the settlor, the trustee, and the benefactor, right? And so you are there as the settlor to contact the trustee, which would be the one in holds of that contract, and me, the beneficiary, would then want some resolution on that. And this is equivalent to your revocation of election as it goes to the information we're finding out. So Ken, this actually dovetails very nicely with an in reality in 3D, let's say, very practical application of this, because it mirrors what we're doing in life to be free next. I really feel this revocation of election thing is the way that you either escape the soul trap or you get sort of how to navigate this thing under contract by figuring out your sovereignty. And this is a massive thing spiritually for me to be undertaking this revocation of election process. And it dovetails exactly to what you're talking about here, man. Energetically, it's fascinating. Just unsubscribing from the bullshit. So
yeah, and you know, ultimately that's what I do. So even when you are talking about these contract situations in the 3D, I'm drawing a blank. Because I don't deal with any of that. And I still have, in order and
reference of how it functions, which is fascinating.
How it functions up there. And I don't know how it functions. I've been tapped out of the 3D world forever.
Well, trust allegedly is God's law. This usurps the bullshit statute law, which is what all bar attorneys are 99.9%. They learn in the bar. That's statute law. That's bullshit. God's law is above that. That treats you like a human being. Statutes is for the corporation that you're being treated as that you don't know that you're being treated as. So okay. Again, when it's interesting whenever you talk about that you're spiritually opening people to their gifts in the same way we're telling people about their straw man, and that actually here's how your relationship with the government is, and here's how they see you, and here's how you simply rectify it by standing up and saying, I'm a living person. That's all you're doing here, and asserting your dominance and saying, I got the wheel now, my controls, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm following you. Sorry.
No, you nailed it. I think it's awesome. I like that you needed to be brought up on what you already intuitively talked about. You know, I think that that's pretty cool. Okay, well, look, we still want to absolutely take you up on the healing if that's still available. Yeah. And we want to remind the audience that all the ways to find Ken are going to be located down below. I absolutely adore you, brother. I think this is awesome. You and your team are so cool, and we really appreciate you coming by. And we still have a lot more to look forward to in our afterthought. Great way to support your favorite show, guys. Check that link down in the show description, as well as all the ways to find our incredibly cool artist, Rita Roberts. Before we let you guys go here, he has something very special, and I'm just going to let Ken set this up. He also has a discount in his store for you guys, and if you want, well, let's go ahead and tee that up first.
Yeah, so that's KenLloydOfficial.com. for the website. And there is a healing code, or the coupon code, pardon me, and it's called EXREAL25. So XREAL25, all capitals. And that's 25% off any private session or any group session. I have 25 minute or 30 minute sessions, and I have hour long sessions. Do not book an hour long session with me. You don't need it. We're going to be sipping coffee and talking about, you know, baloney by the end of it. It's so fast.
A crude way of saying this is like when a guy books a hooker for an hour and then lasts 2 minutes, right? He's like, all right, what are we going to do for the rest of the 58? But anyway, I hear what you're saying. I could class it up for you, Ken.
So that's the healing code. And now what I want to do is I want to give everyone an experience. All right. This would be about 5 minutes of my team channeling. Is this a good time for us?
Beautiful. This is a perfect time. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So the only thing I ask you guys to do is just kind of sit back and receive. So typically I'll ask just to close your eyes and to breathe in through your nose. And as you breathe in through your nose, just breathe in light, you know, whatever color, whatever shape shows up. Your visualization is important to you. Fill the body up, hold it for a few moments, and then I just want you to exhale the things that no longer serve you. That is your only job for the next few minutes. Here we go. Korea mapo opo etiato Just come out of that when you're ready.
Why do I feel it right here? Like there's a pressure right in here. What is that all about?
But there are ascension codes that were sent to everybody. Okay, there is some DNA clearing that took place. There's some awareness that took place. There's some inner struggle for some of your team, some of your audience that is going to be relieved and disappear the inner struggle so they can move forward. Like what happens here is everyone gets exactly what they need. It's not like you're showing up on 11-11 for the very specific day activation, right? That's not how it works with me, right? When this comes through, you'll notice the different tones, the different speeds. There are thousands and thousands of different light languages that can pump through my body as they need. And they tune it to whoever your audience is, both now and in the future and on replays. And you can listen to this again, and you will get a different set of codes.
I was going to ask, does it sound different to each person? Because just like your reticular activating system, you will pick up different things in your reality, though all are present, right?
They're telling me it doesn't sound different, but it's triggered different.
I see. Yeah, it'll activate. I got it.
Yeah, it's like imagine going and they're showing me a bar of code or a bar of music, right? All of a sudden, there's this pop, which is the hook for them. Like, this is a piece I need to pull in. Right. So again, I don't know these things, so somebody asked me a question.
It's so interesting, Ken. I think it's super interesting and very cool what you're doing, man. Very cool. Ah, well, fantastic. And thank you for that. I want to remind the audience that all the ways to find him are going to be located down below, as well as our incredible artist. Thank you so much, Rita, for this is just amazing. I've seen you do soul circles before, but never like this. And I am curious to see if because Ken, this just like us, man, this is part of our conversation and it adds. Yeah. She is feeding off of all of this and creating this other beautiful part of this process. So I've seen a lot of her work. Never one that looks like this ever. So we're going to make sure that we ask her more about that in the afterthought. But before we let you run here, brother, we like to give you the last word here. Thank you again for everything and for joining us. We'll have you on any damn time you want, Bubba. But before we let you run, what gets you out of bed every morning and keeps you moving forward, man?
The potential of what I don't know. The what is coming. And it's not that I have to ask the question, what is coming? But what is coming? Because I know I'm very different, very unique, and we all are different and unique, right? But the whole idea of that elevator thing where every day or every week or whatever, there's something coming. And I'm like, how and why and what? And this seems so massive, but I gotta tell you, just show up and smile, be happy. And that's how I live my life. And it's beautiful. It doesn't matter what shows up because it's gonna happen regardless for me. So yes, I do enjoy my beer once in a while. It doesn't matter. It's just going to happen. So I hope that was good advice. Enjoy life.